Good evening. Good evening, everybody. We are early. People can't take late in the chat because we're early, guys. We're actually early. Everybody put early in the
Try to stop me.
chat. God, you know what this headset sound makes me sound like? I sound like Jim. You know the gym mic? You know the headset mic? I sound like Mr. Medica.
Oh no. Do you have a grooming server?
Shitpost on Twitter. Yeah. Oh, dear. But yes, hello everyone, and welcome to a very belated episode of Starman and the Boomer. Evelyn is here too.
Hello.
Evelyn is here also. She is doing Evelyn things. I'm hoping people will also. Like, I don't know if it's please refresh. I know you can't hear me if you can't hear me, but if the stream ever doesn't start, just refresh. That's like the real tech. Yes, normal YouTube-y stuff. We are through some miracle of like science or of magic still monetized, so you can donate. You can donate to our Streamlabs. That's the best place to donate. But you can also super chat us, and we still have a lot of regular members that are actually keeping this channel ticking over. Like I, from the streams that I did with Louis and AA, I got like a half decent payout for once. So remind me to send you some of that, Drake.
Cool. Well, we have to sort out what I've got from Streamlabs anyway, so we will sort. We will sort. But good.
It's like, yeah, people have been very supportive, people have been very good. Yeah, we are not wizards. That's someone else's job.
Yes.
But no, we've taken a bit of a break, and I imagine our analytics and sharing are going to take a massive fucking hit since we took 2 weeks off, because it will just not be serving our videos to people. But I don't know, that just makes you guys who are tuning in a bit more special. They're the
Yeah,
other special guys.
it's exclusive.
Yeah, this is the exclusive club of people who are able to see the stream because YouTube is probably filtering the hell out of us.
Yeah.
YouTubers screwing us because we are actually in three different locations for once.
Yes, we are. We are all remoting from different places. It's kind of funny when you see people going, "Hey, Evelyn and Strumper on the same mic." That there's a lot of people who realize that.
Yep.
In one way or another, and that's kind of funny.
But not this time.
No, we
No,
can
not this time.
actually speak at the same time.
I am VPNing in from a remote location.
Little St. David, or Little St. James, or whatever it is.
A little, yeah. Let's push that. The Streamlabs backend has definitely changed. Might have logged in through the wrong thing. Oh, there it is. There we go. Sorry, I'm just trying to make sure I can see people's donations. Ooh.
Slideshowy.
Very slideshow. But
Was
no,
this
we are. Sorry, go on.
I was say, was this like a template called like Slate or something like that?
I think that's just dark mode. That's the dark mode on our website. I'm currently trying to update the images on there because the images look ass with dark mode. So I'm actually sat here updating the website as we speak as well.
And I am not
Some people
doing
are saying
any of
rip.
that. What are we ripping? Why? What's happened? It's not the
Trigger,
sound.
I think your internet had a hiccup there.
Did
Yeah.
it?
Yeah, I think it was because I could hear you fine over Discord.
Okay. I hope it doesn't do too much of that. We've had enough of that crap recently. It
Yeah,
did
we had an RIP from people there.
it to me
Oh.
last night. I was busy watching I don't know if you've ever seen Norseman on Netflix. It's quite a good little series. I was watching that and halfway through an episode my internet just bammed everything down 2 minutes and then back up again.
Yeah, I think you took a slight dip there.
I'm gonna have to have words with my I've got a 200 meg connection with Virgin.
You probably need your hardware updating. When's the last time you got a home hub?
Oh God, probably 2 or 3 years now.
Yeah, you've got outdated hardware.
Yeah.
Ooh. Now it is time for the tech support section of Stream. I don't know, Scrump's fixing the website. Should we briefly discuss what happened at the weekend?
I just got a message. British Knight has now been a member for 6 months in a row. Thank you, British Knight.
Yeah.
He said it was a wonderful weekend, but unfortunately, ever since then, I felt like ass.
You know what, man?
My descent may have been punished by the coof.
Same. I came down with something last night, and I felt like death this morning. And
that's just the feeling of your immune system getting used to fighting colds again.
I think so.
Getting stronger.
Yeah.
How black pilled is that though? Like we all meet as like 60 odd of us for the first time in a while. But I'm not unwell, but I'm definitely groggy.
Yeah. I think the cigars might have just removed some of my throat.
Same.
I've definitely got a bit of a raspy voice at the moment. But I'm not complaining. I would do it again, given the chance in a second.
Oh yeah, it was a very, very good weekend.
Yeah.
And I think a good proof of concept.
Yeah, I think maybe we should just sort of, for those unaware, whoever they may be, we planned for the last 2 months or so a roughly 70 capacity event at a beer hall with a number of us, all the three of us actually talking there, plus a number of community speakers, and Dank as our MC for the evening.
He was.
Yeah.
He was the MC. Although he was very mad they stole his Bugfest.
Mm.
So it should be. I mean, that was a disgrace, to be honest.
Stony Lonesome, it's not a super chat, but he said, favorite Yawning Man song, also you like Caius. Yes, I do like Yawning Man and Caius. I appreciate the name there. That's a very obscure, like, very desert rock reference. I basically own everything by Yawning Man and Caius, including some like obscure bootlegs and vinyls. So I'm gay like that. Sorry, go on. You were explaining about Nomas.
Yeah, no, I think, I don't know, I never got a complaint off anyone. I think the only person that complained was some patriotic alternative numpty that thought that he was going to take issue with the fags, but didn't directly take issue with the fags because it's obviously too intimidating to talk to them, despite the fact that you have an issue with them.
Yeah, I did have a very strange conversation with somebody who'd come from, like, Identity Europa, which screams Fed.
Oh, big time. Big time, big time. There had to be at least one or two feds there.
Yeah, because I thought that girl was a fed, but probably not.
She was a plant of another variety.
We're not going into that one.
And there was that guy that was there dressed as Neo from The Matrix, which was hilarious. But he turned out he was all right. But he could have been a fed. No fed.
Oh no, I've met him before.
No fed goes to an event like that dressed quite that feddy.
Well, he did look like a Matrix meme, which I kind of actually appreciate.
Yeah.
I don't know. That was kind of funny.
That reminds me, the American dude. It was at the Shieldings thing though. That actually looked like he'd just come off of the training ground at Langley.
Oof.
Oh god, yeah.
It had like the proper like matte kind of Polaroid like sunglasses and stuff like that. It was just hilarious.
Outstanding.
Thick, you mean sort of like Virginia accent?
You mean Anakin Cringewalker?
No. There was like an American dude there that was talking about how he was like ex services and all sorts of stuff.
Hmm. Oh him. Oh right. I forgot about him.
I think you and Mark and stuff were talking with him at one point for a bit.
Yeah, we were. For those who don't remember either, back in August we did an event called Shieldings in Coventry, actually. Like, at Warwick University, I think we can say that now without fear of reprisal. And it was pretty good. It was definitely conference priced.
Yes. Yeah.
We wanted to do something that wasn't as expensive. So, yeah, we managed to host an event, 30 quid a ticket. That includes food and an entire evening. We managed to sell it out. And it's really just kind of the very basic step of getting people in the same room. Because this was very much stressed by everyone who was there. And it was a very good point of synchronicity that this needs to be like the norm and not the exception.
People
need to be doing in-person stuff as a matter of course, rather than, you know, hoping someone else will do it or just communicating online all the time. It's good for certain types of organization, but if you're going to take that next step, if you're going to be resilient, especially with how online communities are being demolished, you need to take this into the real world.
Yes.
I did enjoy the fact that we were doing it in a beer hall.
Yes.
There just seemed to be some synchronicity in about that. It was great.
This is why I counter signaled with like the Marx quotes at the start.
Yes. 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 No, that was good. That was good. I love both of your speeches. By the way, they were. You know, everyone's speech was good. There was definitely, okay, I can see a couple of people who'd never done a speech before in public, and as a result, it was very much reading from the thing rather than addressing the audience. But that's absolutely fine. Everyone was very, very well researched, and it was good.
We also need to get certain people like used to public speaking. There's a lot of people who are online, you know, content contributors, who aren't used to having an actual audience, and that needs to be, that's something I need to work on as well more. But it's something that we need to develop. We need to develop, you know, proper public speaking, properly rehearsed speeches, and it's about the you learn by doing. This is more of a prototype. Like I said, it's more of a proof of concept. But I'm glad we were able to actually pull it off, and at the very least, people had a good time, which is again sorely needed after the past.
You know,
I guess nearly 2 years now.
You know, this is my takeaway from it. From the most important thing there was the networking and the fact that we could meet up with some people of like mind, people we've spoken to for fucking years on Twitter or on various other social media platforms, and rarely get the chance to meet in person.
It's a nice reminder that there are people out there who agree with you to some extent. That they you know. Again, it was I think one of the opening sort of statements I made in my talk is that we all collectively have a feeling of not belonging within the sort of current social climate. For whatever reason, it's just we can't abide by what it currently constitutes.
No. And
I mean, yes and no. What I will say is that just travelling up to Manchester, we got on the train. And as is always my way, I always end up sat next to the weirdo who just wants to talk. And immediately strike up a conversation, and it's all about, oh, what do you think to this coronavirus? You know, so on and so forth. 10 minutes into the conversation, he's lapping everything up I'm saying. We're talking about politics, and he's there going, totally agree. And this is a conversation I have very, very regularly. Every time I go out into public and talk to the average guy, they're completely with us. The Joe Public is completely with us. They just don't have anyone that's standing up visible for them to gather behind.
They don't turn up, though.
No.
Joe Public wasn't at our event, and that's not because we're all weird. It's because we understand that you've got to commit some kind of time, even if it is just showing face.
Yeah. I mean, Joe Public wants to sit and watch his TV, have his dinner, have a pint and go to bed, and then get up and go to work. I get that. Very few people want to get politically engaged and charge out there and so on.
Someone's made a very good point, Trig. Is it that you keep sitting beside people on the train who want to talk, or are you the weirdo who wants to talk?
Yeah.
Look, I'm very happy to talk to anyone that wants to talk about stuff, but in this case, it was definitely Mr. Joe Public. You know, he was kind of my age. He was kind of an old Mancunian who, you know, who had been through it in the 90s and this, that, and the other. We clearly walked similar paths, shall we say, without going into too much of my past. And he'd done it large on a number of occasions, and I was.
Did you sit next to Bez?
It was a bit. It was a bit. Are you Bez, but not? But yeah, no. Just as I said, just a general average Joe Public. And we'll say Joe Public agrees, will agree to anything as long as he's left alone. I don't know. Yes, but the being left alone is a core part of it. It's get the fucking government out of my pocket and out of my everything.
Well, therein lies the issue, though, is that, you know, what we were talking about, or what I was trying to talk about at least, is that community and sort of a local mindset were product of people's attempt to construct a community. It was a product of people just trying to survive.
Yes.
You had to know the people around you, because otherwise, you know, you'd starve to death in the winter or whatever else. Whereas now it is possible to be left alone. I mean, that's the insidious kind of modernism and libertarianism.
Mm-hmm.
Is it not necessarily that, you know, atomized individual, but the notion of you can be left alone, it speaks to, you know, a society whereby every other part of your life is done across the globe for as cheap as it can be, as opposed to something you can rely on locally that you need to play a part in.
I mean, yes, there is. We do not have the community that we used to have. And I mean, I find when my next door neighbor moved in next door to me, which was halfway through last year, you know, there I was sort of sticking my head over the fence and going, all right, how's it going? You know, nice to meet you. My name's and so on and so forth. And there was a bit of a, oh, who's this weirdo on his face? And then he and I, you know, we got talking. We talked about the tree that we had to cut down and this, that and the other. He's still not come over for a barbecue. I've invited him several times to pop over for a pint, but he hasn't done. But, you know, you can only do so much. He seems like a nice enough chap, but he's, you know, he's got a wife and kid. Good on him. Maybe he doesn't. Maybe he's just being polite and thinks I'm some weirdo that actually talks to people in the street. But then again, there we are again. Yeah. Yes. Okay. Yes. I talk to random people. You're right.
It is you, Trent. We knew it would be true. Now, what I talked about as well is that a lot of people want to move to the higher trust, community-focused society, but they have no idea how.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And the point is that, like, unless you create it, community doesn't exist. Like, it's got to the point, sadly, that we have to actively seek it out and actively try and rebuild it since it's been so destroyed. But it's something to, it's like, there's all these very, very basic steps we can take, because it isn't being done. That's the thing. A lot of people are like, wow, that's really basic. How is that going to accomplish anything? It's like, well, the basics aren't being done right now, or at least not regularly and to the right extent. Which is, again, what I was trying to talk about. It's just, you need to, first of all, create a network of people who are in each other's lives for anything to get done. That's like the very base level, is having an actual network. Not even like an activist network, that maybe comes later, but just having a network of people who understand each other and know each other by name and face.
No, that's exactly the point I've been trying to make to some of the basket weaving people, is they want to organise these fancy, like, oh, let's go and do pottery and clay and we'll go on a big hike and stuff. And it's like, that stuff comes after you've built the network of people who know each other and will actually do things with one another. You know, there needs to be that kind of, even though it sounds like a small thing to say, commitment to going to a pub once a month. If you go to a pub once a month and you meet the same people there, it's not going to be long before you plan different things. But you've got to do that first part.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I'm going to London on Saturday. I'm meeting a few people, and some of, I think, the basket weaving people are tagging along to that. I'm just going in because it's my birthday tomorrow. And I kind of used Nomos as a surrogate free birthday party, which worked out pretty well. it was a pretty good weekend. But I'm gonna be meeting up with Ez. And I think Not So Obvious might be showing up, and Yasin, who's the guy with all the Polaroids, thank you again, if you're ever watching this. That's where all these great looking pictures come from. There's a guy who showed up at Shieldings and who showed up at the Nomos event, who must spend like 50 quid an event at least on like Polaroid negatives.
He doesn't pay for a drink though, does he?
I was blown away to see someone using a Polaroid. I really was. That was wild in of its own right. As a hey guys, I enjoyed the 80s. Everyone had Polaroid cameras. Every kid had a Polaroid camera at their birthday or Christmas at some point or other. And then the 90s came about and you didn't see Polaroids at all.
Yeah,
Now
you had horrendous digital cameras once you get into the 2000s too.
yeah. And now it's all on phones, but to see a Polaroid camera still being used was that was really quite neat.
I hate to say it, but it's very retro, yes.
Yes.
They're actually very in fashion right now. That's why it's so expensive. No, we didn't hire him. He just does that.
I did kind of say to him the week before, like, make sure or feel free to take some and we'll use them for the website and stuff.
Yeah, we could do with scanning those in properly. I'll figure out a solution to that. But you're right, no, he doesn't pay for training. It's a good racket. But I think he spends more on Polaroid than, you know, you could spend on beer and still be standing up.
I did say, I think either me or you or possibly both of us did say, and we'd do him a deal on the next one.
Oh yeah, definitely. Like there's a few people out there. Thank you to Tail Feature, who was our audio engineer, and general equipment wrangler.
Yeah.
Again, it's nice to just have people, you know, be able to help out. It was also nice to meet Tail Feature finally. It was just an all round great, like, it is the networking aspect though. It's the getting
Yes.
people in a room, getting them talking in a relaxed environment where they feel like they're, you know, they've bought something but they got value for money. I don't know. What do you guys think of the buffet? I thought the buffet was pretty good, actually.
I enjoyed the buffet. I didn't get my hands on one of the hot dogs.
Oh, they went like instantly.
They did go instantly, and no, I couldn't eat a hot dog like that in public anyway.
You're like Ned Flanders, no footlongs.
Yeah, exactly.
Weird, obscure episode where Maud Flanders dies referenced there.
Oh,
Sorry, we before I left for my job, we were rewatching all the Simpsons.
the chicken tendies were great, as Forged has said in the chat.
Yes.
The steins of cocktails were really kind of where it was at for me, though. That in fact, let's get that photo up. That's that. I don't know why I look so goddamn miserable in that photo. I'm having a great day. I'm just sort of, I don't know, I was trying to pose and look edgy or something. I don't know. But that was that a porn star? That was a porn star
That was a
martini.
stein of porn star martini. Those were I didn't realize how strong those were. They were quite generous with the shots in those, and that was under a tenner.
Yeah, no, I ended up getting through that plus a couple of steins of Long Island iced tea.
Oh
It's
God, the Long Island iced teas were deadly.
I don't know
I
how I was
didn't.
still standing, and yet I was.
To be fair, it was the cigars that did me in. I'm not
Yeah.
used to.
I think I know why, by the way. I tried to relight the end that you had left, and I think you cut too much off the back because I had two puffs and my lungs nearly exploded.
All right. You're the one who trimmed it.
Did I trim that one as well?
Yeah, you did. You trimmed them both.
Sheed.
I think I trimmed about four or five cigars that night. I felt like a rabbi by the end of
Oi.
it.
I'm still paying for that. I need to be careful with my lungs.
Yeah,
Being as
same.
I am, the eternal asthmatic. But yeah, we're hopefully going to be doing one in spring. I'm thinking probably March, April time.
Yeah, I was thinking one either the middle or the last weekend in March, because that should keep us outside of Easter and midterm stuff.
Yeah, we just need to stay outside of half term and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like once I got over the hump with my new job and my birthday and stuff, I'm gonna start looking for venues and locations like now, basically. Like, but we're gonna start planning it like now. We're gonna do lots of lead-in stuff, make sure I have plenty of materials, maybe have some extras to sell, because it's a good vector to also maybe sell a little bit of merch for people who want it.
Possibly.
Just like pins and maybe a small cheap book over and above the booklet. Just small things like that you can get printed pretty cheaply and low risk.
Yeah, that's I think that's stuff for behind the scenes chat though.
Oh yeah, I'm just saying that there's well, even if other people are thinking of hosting events as well, just like book a table somewhere, get 10, 15 people together, don't bite off more than you can chew. Like I said, we didn't try and get hundreds involved. We limited it to the people that we knew we could sell tickets for, or at least thought we could sell tickets for. And just start small, even if it's just like three or four people in the pub. As you've said, I think people try and get too ambitious and try and do things that either cost too much money or take too much time or take too much organization. It's like I said, it's the nightmare scenario for the state and for the government and for all of those who are arranged against us, is there are 5 or 10 people in every pub in Britain who like believe what we do wholeheartedly and are like willing to essentially die for their communities.
Die. I'm thinking kill.
We know what I mean. That's implied, but you know what I mean. It's the idea that you get these, 5, 10 people in, that's maybe like 30, 40 people in every small town in Britain then. And that's all you'd need. All you need is 5, 10 people at every pub.
Oh yeah.
And again, it's a long way off, but that's the kind of thing. It doesn't take a huge amount,
It's
percentage wise.
all about getting them the courage, or giving them the courage, and inspiring them to have the courage to stand up and be loud about it, because
Yes.
so few people want to stand up anymore because they know what happens. The Twitter hate mob or what have you comes for them, and then they get beaten down by a very loud minority. Yes.
don't know. A loud minority could have two meanings there.
It was actually it's quite interesting. There's definitely I know it's going to be like we're all of a sudden we're doing a really high level theory tangent, but there was a couple of people I think you might have noticed that during the Q&A that basically came up asking questions along the lines of what the hell do we do about liberalism, which I thought was very interesting. That the sort of message implicitly given out, I think slightly by ourselves and also AA and others, has been to really sort of question that motivation. And when someone asked about it at one point, I'd sort of just jokingly said we need to kill liberalism. And he came up afterwards and he was like, but you're this it sounds silly, but you're like totally right.
I have to admit, I kind of missed the Q&A because I was sat with Jess drinking. But yeah, no, you are absolutely right. Liberalism, there's so much stuff that gets conflated with liberalism that has actually nothing to do with original TM classical liberalism, etc. But these days, it's all part of the same thing anyway. And very rapidly, a liberal government wants to take your kids off you at three and indoctrinate them into the state education system. You don't own your children. You don't own this. You don't own that. Oh, but this is liberal. No, it's not. It's straight out of the Communist Manifesto, to be honest. But at this point, you just have to go, right, all of that lot over there and into the bin. Start again. Screw this. The idea, the concept of liberalism has been ruined. Not that it was ever good. I think those people had the right idea, perhaps, or good intentions, maybe. But this is part of what I was saying, is that you can't roll back and not expect it to be back where we are right now. Very rapidly, especially with the internet and technology, you could roll it back to the 1920s. But as long as the internet's still up and functioning, we'll be back where we are right now within a year or two.
Yeah, you can't reform the 20th century or the
No.
19th century for that matter.
No. Actually, it's not a matter of return. It's a matter of pushing forward into a new a new sort of new thing, for want of a better word. And how we do that is another question that I've yet to answer. I'm far from answering this.
Replivus. We must
Replivus.
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 Replivus. I like it. Yeah.
That's better. Sorry, I've updated the Nomos website, so it looks a little bit better in dark mode now. Because people were complaining that stuff didn't stand out, so should be a little bit better there, guys. But yeah, Replivus is a good one. Oh, we have a donation actually from Mr. Gaius Nautius Caesar. It says, "What do you call the person employed by the federal government? Federal administrative gig or fag for short."
Yeah,
a classic. But no, it's you're right. It's a case of there's a lot of people who are getting these ideas at the same time, and they don't have anyone to talk to about it. Like, there's no substitute for a real life back and forth with someone on any topic.
Yeah,
and like mainstream political discussion, quote unquote. You know, even in the man in the pub sense, is so stifled. It's all about, like, you know, what is Labour and the Conservatives doing, maybe. And, like, maybe someone grumbling about the immigrants if you're lucky. And that's about as far as it goes. There is no one really to talk about. Someone talk about, yeah, I'm with Nick Land on this one. The only way out is through.
Yeah.
Well, no, I was going to say that's the... I think the issue is it's thinking about it conceptually. A lot of people aren't read enough on a depth to understand why, for example, at the start of my speech, you know, it wasn't about how do you make the ideal community. It's you have to first understand what a community is. And it's not, you know, the white community or the black community or the gay community. It's the people that live in
your community.
The guy community.
Some Scotch Steiner there for you.
Yeah, that's the people, as you're saying, the man in the pub will sit there and rant about how his community has been ruined. But what, you know, is he thinking consciously about what community is first to find out whether or not it's been ruined?
I think, like I said, a lot of people know this. They know a lot of these things vaguely and implicitly, but they don't have the language to express it properly.
Mm.
Which is fine, honestly. Like, there's a lot of people who it will just click with if it's explained to them in simple terms. But there isn't, like, you're right, there isn't that overarching theory basis for those people. Those people haven't, like, had time, and they haven't had the ability, because, like, it's been deliberately removed from them, to sit and reason out their position in, like, a way that it makes internal sense, that they're able to express it properly, rather than this vague sense of...
the head with Sam Francis, yeah, is basically what you're saying.
Yeah, they have a vague sense that something is wrong. There's that great quote that I probably should have used, because I've used it before, from Ted Kaczynski, about that vague, like, sense of emptiness in modernity.
Mm.
And that there's this great, like, spiritual hole in the world, and that, like, pure materialism has just left people wayward.
Mm.
I need to find that, actually. So go on.
No, see, that's kind of why I used Evola, because it's such a far out of the sort of the woods of where we normally are opinion. You know, Evola, it from moment to moment will switch from seeing, you know, man as some sort of metaphysical representation of the soul in the physical form, to then discussing man as like a biological entity that just acts as this sort of self-replicating biomass. And it's, you know, like, I think I used the phrase the cancer of mass society, which is almost word for word a phrase that Evola has used, because he talks about, you know, people who procreate for procreation's sake, they're just a material child. It's they are essentially a human cancer.
Damn. But yeah.
It's so far out of the realms of the stuff we are used to, and because it's always framed in a sort of higher sense of the self and things like community and the race and whatever else, it's not as repulsive, because you're sort of like, well, he's seeing it from all the way over here, and if we go over there and we look at it, we can't say he's not right. You know, when he talks about the fact that, you know, the modern spirit is best understood as the American spirit.
It's, yeah, just... like, to I need to. I'm sure I put it in a slide somewhere at one point. I'm sorry I didn't, but it's the quote from Ted Kaczynski is just, there's a kind of spiritual emptiness in modern life. I'm not sure exactly what that means, but spiritual emptiness would include at least the system's apparent inability to provide any positive values of wide appeal other than hedonistic ones, or simply worship of technological progress for its own sake. Very brilliant, very succinct. Thank you, Ted. Please send me a stamp. my local stamp collector.
Joey's he's gonna be like 80 next year or some shit.
Jesus, really?
Yeah, well, we're gonna have to make like I reckon we write to the UN and we ask for like now like Al McGrahy got a leave.
Yeah.
Doing the Lockerbie bombings. Surely our man Ted can get some leeway for his sacrifice he made.
Free my nigga Ted.
Yeah, damn straight. I don't know.
I would love to see that, but I can't see it happening. Not with the American prison system the way they are.
Yeah, just onto the Evola stuff, though. It's just that the opening phrase from the big chunk that I used was, you know, the opposition between modern civilizations and traditional ones may be summarized as follows. Modern civilizations devour space, whereas traditional civilizations devoured time. I'll be honest, the first time I read that, I sat there for 20 minutes thinking that's some of the most genius shit I've ever read in my fucking life. Because it just, it speaks straight away to this notion of an incredibly sort of stable society that just munches through time, you know, like feudal Japan or something like that. Whereas, you know, America, time just kills it. As it goes on through time, it's just been slowly murdered because it has to take up as much space as it can.
It's been a murder. Sorry.
It's been a murder.
But you are, yeah, it's these the idea that traditional societies are stable and that they are, you know, it promotes, again, you're getting into time preference there, and that these are like high time preference societies in which things are done generationally. As opposed to, you know, people, it's a cliche to talk about the instant gratification consumer society that we have, but there's a much deeper meaning behind the surface level stuff that people identify. And again, to bring it around to the topic, that's the problem that people have in that these super low time preference people, they are the ones who are incapable of building communities because they are not interested in permanence. They are not interested in putting down roots. They are not interested in, you know, like you said, knowing their neighbors or developing meaningful friendships or relationships. Their education and their socialization has told them that is not necessary and may actually be a detriment to them. And we live in this extremely, like, deracinated time.
A society?
Yes, we live in a society.
Sort of.
Awesome.
for what? Yes, it fits the definition of it roughly. But you know, few people know the names of their next door neighbors these days.
It always reminds me of the George Costanza one in Seinfeld, and like he's waiting for the phone in the lobby, and he's standing there for minutes, you know, sitting stroking his chin and picking his head and everything. And he looks away for 2 seconds to talk to someone. He comes back and someone grabs it. And he starts screaming. He actually gets down on his knees like, we live in a society.
I know I need to watch more Seinfeld. I've seen a couple of episodes, but me and TV have never really got on. I tend to watch, I'll find a series on Amazon or something like that and go, okay, I'm going to binge on that. But as far as, you know, classic TV, never.
I think it's on Netflix. I was tempted by it at some point.
Okay, I'll find it. I have a Netflix account of
Seinfeld. I think is worth watching.
Yeah.
Ooh.
It's a decent enough show. we get a little bit off track though with the Seinfeld stuff. Good job. There's the question which everyone asked is, what is the next step? Because where this all developed from is at the Shieldings event, a lot of people came out and talked about localism and community and the fact that we don't have one. And putting together stuff like Nomos is the first step in that, but it is only the first step in that.
Yes.
There's a lot of people who came up to me and asked me, like, where is this going? I'm like, we have to walk before we can run, but, like, longer term, really, it is about just, like, soaking in to many different levels, like, soaking into to the society in many different levels.
Well, I think that, you know, much like any organization, there are certain jobs for certain people. And if, you know, our thing that we contribute from now into however long is that we host events and that we bring people together and, you know, we help communicate ideas, then that, you know, that needs to be the starting point before someone who listens to us can take what we're doing and go and act upon it. You know, yes. we are acting upon it by doing what we're doing in the hopes that the people that turn up do the very same.
Yes, that's what it's like. Go out there, go create your community groups. It's like scattering seeds. Go take root.
It's like Evelyn. It's like what you and I were saying when we were on British Knights stream a couple of months ago. It's almost just get out there and almost make local government etc. irrelevant by being the guy that or just going out and doing that you know normal local government would do.
Essentially, go out and fix the road. Go out and clean up the streets. You know
exactly. Yeah. You know. If that's your thing, go and build community. Whether I mean, I build communities online. It's what I've been doing for the last few years. Before that, I build good, strong groups of friends. And whether it's a more sort of nebulous online community or whether it's your actual local community, these all count. And it's just building groups of people. I really do think
it gets more important the further we go along as well. I mean, I think. There are people who, I know there were people at the Shieldings thing, and I mean no offence to them, but they still implicitly in some way coped, and that it's like, oh, well, you know, I've got a plan to do something, but I'm going to let this COVID stuff blow over. No, you can't do that. Now is the most important time to start doing stuff like that, because one, it's not going to get any easier, and two, if you can prove that you can stand out as a community leader in a time of strife, that's so much more important than
thing I gave the Shieldings people credit for. They had a bit of a too many cooks problem. We've talked about that before, but the fact that they like went balls out, they started planning it like deep in lockdown. They had no idea
if they'd be able the original plan for that was pre-lockdown, I believe.
All right. But they went ahead and booked a venue while it was still unsure whether people would unlock or not.
Yeah.
Like they just went and did it, which is, you know, admirable. And a lot of people have been doing things like that. They've been, you know, don't wait for it to, you know, don't wait for permission again, because that's the big thing I've been trying to stress to everyone around me is that this is never, you are not getting normal back. Like there's my friend Ace on Twitter just keeps quote tweeting all these people being like, when are we, you know, how are we going to tell them lads about like getting back to normal?
Sorry, go on. Yeah.
That's just the case. It's just like who's going to tell them? That we ain't going back.
Well, this is it. The thing is, this is what I was saying in my mind, we are at normal. It hasn't really changed. This is just a new aspect of the normal which we've had 400 years. This is normal for governments to do this, to grab onto any opportunity to increase their power over the individuals. I'm looking at you guys. You guys have put your speeches up. Everyone's put their speeches up, and I haven't done anything like that on mine.
Yeah, that was totally Scrump that did that, and not anyone else.
But I'm thinking. I don't know if I'm going to do it or not, because mine was more rhetoric than an actual sort of contentful speech. Well, anyway,
if you give me like your rough draft, like I'll probably put it into shape of something that could be published.
Yeah, I think if you know, I've been umming and ahhing over it. I might just record something and just literally just record it, because it's better spoken than
I think it is text. That's probably a a good thing to do.
I'm not sure because they all went well.
Sorry.
Squiddly wow.
Squid. What?
No, I was gonna say excuse me and do something, but I shan't yet.
Uh huh.
Just I'm seeing truckism in the chat, and my brain is being highly tuned to dislike such behaviour.
Truckism, what?
And truckism.
Truckism.
Someone's slagging John D. I'm not having it.
Right. Yeah, John D's fine. I don't know why people are mad at John D. Yeah, we do stan our John D. He's a good boy and isn't afraid of nothing. It's very like Nick Fuentes' 14-year-old fans screaming no fags in the movement.
Yeah, this guy's if he's just gonna sit in the chat and whinge at folk, I'm gonna make use of the power I've been given. Oops.
Yeah, same with people who is this counter signaling, and why is he counter signaling against Dank of all people?
Aye.
Yeah, John D, superior to AA. He says liberals get the bullet too. I will say I like AA, but John D does spurg out a bit less. Although I do enjoy AA spurg outs. They are high quality spurg outs. Yeah, I'm going to address that because that's something that came up in the that was the only complaint that I had. It's just like, okay, if you're trying to establish a vanguard of people, why wouldn't you want those people involved who know the pause firsthand? Why wouldn't you want people why wouldn't you want the people who the establishment have a hard time dealing with involved? It's like a less cringe version of what Milo tried to do, which is, grab a whole bunch of attention just by being gay. I mean, in the end, he was a fucking cringe lord who stole everyone's money, but it is actually a legitimate attention-grabbing strategy. And as long as you're doing something useful with that attention, that is a good way of working. Like, you want all that. You want these weird, disparate allies. You want, the revolutionary communist people who were sick of, the woke left. Like, the biggest potential ally. AA's been saying this, I've been saying this, a whole bunch of other people have been saying this that I know who get it. Like, the biggest group of potential allies that is going underexploited is, the hard, hard left. Like, proper theoretical Marxists. Because they're a small nudge away from basically being, Burnham. An understanding of the whole state capitalism thing. You flick that switch in them and they instantly become they instantly start spouting things that belong in Leviathan and its enemies.
That is one of those ones, either on this stream or someone else's stream or somewhere on Twitter, I will make a point about how, proper tankies and people who really understand their Hopper and their Rothbard can see a number of, strong similarities in the way the state engages in its craft. And if you can convince those people that you might want something similar to what they want, even though we really don't at the end of the day, they can become just extremely useful. And every once in a while, I'll get a message off of someone and be like, that's actually pure genius.
You know what? It's also ancient fucking knowledge as well. It's literally out of Sun Tzu, which is if you can get your enemy to actually join you, you win A without bloodshed, and B you end up with twice the army you started out with. And I'd much rather recruit to our side than sit there fighting every fucker any day of the week. It's far easier. It's far better to, we talk about building communities, go out and build communities, find people you've got something in common with, whether it be a tanky or whoever. There's plenty of people.
Who is it? We met up with someone the week before when we went shopping.
Dan. Was it Dan?
Yes.
We'll just call him that.
Yeah.
Is just someone who has read enough of sort of extreme lefty material and stuff that's slightly right of that, sort of socially, You know, like he is one of those people that has gone off and read weird Lenin papers, and in doing so, you bump up stuff in the same way that like me and A have come across. And you're like, wait, if you view this from our perspective and you use, you know, our understanding of the left in replace of Lenin's understanding of the left, there's some incredibly useful stuff in there about like power and how to gatekeep your movement and, you know, how to bring people into the fold conveniently while not letting your principles fall. It's like genius stuff, and it's why people like Schmitt, who are probably some of the highest level of like conceptual political thinkers, revere Lenin, because as much as what he did was outright evil, he brought the political formula of conflict into everybody's life in a way that had never been done before, in a way that almost, you know, democracy has taken decades and decades and decades of Western nations to do what Lenin did in a couple of years.
It's something that people, again, there's the this also leads us on to like there are people you just cannot community build with, honestly, and a large part of community building is gatekeeping. I think we did have a Scouser at the event, Mark Jennings, but those are people you can build communities with. I don't mind the Scousers; they're not too bad. But no, that there's you've got to realize that, you know, we talked about the fact that we've had very productive conversation with like actual Marxists before, but there are also people who are just not interested in listening and engaging. That they have a very hard line about, like, talks about little about what isn't liberal, and the idea of creating an exclusivist, in a sense, elitist community and insular society where you have an in-group of people who you deliberately, you know, to an extent, apply different rules to through necessity. A lot of people can't understand that. They can't understand the idea of a community where there is necessarily an in-group and an out-group that are not equal. And like those people do not have the brain for actual community building. Those people don't have the correct mental faculties to be in a human community. Like you talked about people being cancer, but like that is like actual like mind cancer. The people who have like these, they believe that they are alternative in some way, but they have like these mass society minds that they cannot differentiate between an in-group and an out-group, and that they think doing so is like some form of
Well,
heresy.
that's fascism, but at the end of the day, I'm willing to accept that if that's what it is.
Well, it's the whole point that, you know, people from your town deserve special privilege from you because they're from your town. You know, it used to be you stand the locals and the locals look after each other. The fuck every other town, we're gonna stand our town. You know, it's the last vestiges like this I've talked about. It's like Millwall localism, you know, North FC, tribalism.
People standing outside the house of recently moved in paedophiles in their local community and shouting scum, nonce, and throwing bricks until the police come and remove them. You know, those people do not read Burnham, they do not read Keynes, they do not read anything. However, they instinctively they feel that something is wrong.
That's the real praxis.
Oh yeah, I have said for the longest time now, even as a kid, even as a literally teenage kid, the football hooligan is our last best hope.
The
I'm
man who
serious.
is
Yeah,
the
the
man who
guy
is
that.
capable of having a real in-group and being violent to the out-group. It seems
Yes.
horrific in the modern society, but like that is actually natural human behavior, and the fact that people aren't willing to say that is kind of disgraceful.
Well,
Like anyone who can't grasp that
I
is
think
not someone
when
you can build with.
during the Q&A thing, I said something a few people weren't necessarily so keen on, but you know, I think it was something along the lines of like, you know, looking at things like immigration and stuff like that, and they wanted to sort of understand it as like a percentage question. It's like, no, it can't be a percentage question. It needs to get to the point where you are basically sitting in your town square with a big sign that says no blacks, Because if you aren't willing to stand behind that, you're never going to get them out.
This is the whole thing of like people recoil at the idea that like people need to in some way revoke civil rights, because basically a lot of people don't seem to understand this, and it's a big discussion we'll have in the democratization series at some point, because it's a massive thing that people have been like brainwashed about. But the whole idea is that the government takes away all your rights and then gives you some of them back, and then also creates this like social policing under the guise of like civil, quote unquote, civil rights, and that you no longer have freedom of association, because that's mean.
Yes, you can't say who you don't want in your community because I say so. It's just a pure raw power grab, and there's no other justification to it other than the other justification being they actively want to use, you know, people of a different race to destroy the homogeneity of the area you live in.
Like you're right. I think a lot of people just don't have the stomach for that yet. Maniacal Foreigner, I'm currently on the road, so I'm using a headset mic. For those who are wondering about the audio quality drop, for me currently, hopefully the audio isn't too bad. I know we had some trouble in the last couple streams. That should be fixed now. But I'm currently on a headset mic, so. Although it should be okay, it's a relatively expensive headset, but it is still just a headset mic. But no, it's the whole case of that, like, a lot of people are coming around to our way of thinking, but they're still a little bit shocked by the logical endpoint of it, let's say.
Yes, they think it, but they don't want to say it.
Well, it's people have just been instinctively trained. It is like deprogramming yourself. But yeah, the whole point is that like unless you're willing to actually go out and put like Sharia patrol essentially your community, like that's what people keep talking about, and I'm loving seeing people being like, you know, the Islamists actually just went out and created a parallel society, like they just went and did that.
Yes.
And they were they were tolerated by the power structure and they were assisted by it in some ways. Yes. Because you know they've been brought in essentially to like demoralize, humiliate us. But
they were assisted a great deal. They were given the ability to set up Sharia courts in England and adjudicate on local sort of issues within their community using their own legal system. Essentially, they were given a huge amount of support from big
government.
Can you imagine
30, 40 folk from somewhere like, you know, bloody Rotherham or something, come across someone that's fiddled their kids and they decide to have like a local town court hearing and they tar and feather the guy in the street and put him in the back of a van.
Oh.
They would all be arrested and, you know, taken away to like category AA terrorist units.
Yes, but meanwhile the Sharia court's going to adjudicate whether or not a local man is allowed to, or a local woman is allowed to divorce her husband because they're both Muslim, and they'll go, no, I don't care if he's beating you. Is he beating you properly? Yes. Well, then there's no problem here. Get back in the kitchen. And the government supports it. It's wild. What they've managed to pull over the English government in the process is, as you say, it's a totally sort of a society within a society. They are operating under different rules. Very clever as a way of subverting a country.
There's a bit of a side discussion going on in the chat. I do agree also that people need better production quality. That's something I think a lot of alternative, quote-unquote alternative content creators struggle with.
Yes.
Which is, we struggle with it as well, just because like OBS and Discord and things, it's just the realities of it. It's very difficult to stream at a very high quality without a proper setup.
Yeah.
Especially when we all have lives and jobs and, you know, I'm on the road at the moment quite a lot. So we'll see. But like, yeah, that is something definitely.
I've considered
thumbnails. Thumbnails also, like I've had to try and get to educate people on thumbnails, because I think our thumbnail game's actually on point. But
yeah.
No, I was going to say, I think there might be some kind of compression issue or like a bandwidth issue within YouTube. Because even the previous weeks, the audio through headphones is even been the audio I'm getting through Discord just now. It's not as good as it's been before, but it's not too bad. So maybe whatever issues are happening, it's just, it's literally YouTube strangling it because they're running out of bandwidth.
It's either YouTube. I mean, I've had issues recently with anything coming in from Discord into my setup onto OBS and then back out again. I was having echoes. I've had all sorts of issues. All of a sudden, out of nowhere. Not changed anything at this end. So it's I think it's operating with free software. You are at the whims of that software creator and so on. And yeah, it's just not as good as you say proper equipment. But got hardware and everything else, but that's all big money at this point.
It's also like it's just like Discord and OBS and YouTube like to throw all the levels off on the fly.
It does seem to be that way, yes.
Yeah, it's, I don't know, it's trying to figure out why, because we tend to keep our setup identical, and it varies wildly with identical settings, so we're not quite sure what's doing it and why it's doing it. I think the main culprit is Discord, though. We might have to get on something Mumble at some point. Just something where we have proper like direct audio. But we are working on that, guys. Don't worry.
Yeah, I was gonna say, is the option to do like the TeamSpeak private server kind of things, does that even still exist?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have access to one of those. I actually have access to a private TeamSpeak server.
That might be quite useful then.
We won't have like the glowing icons. But I guess we could also be in a Discord call but not do the audio through it. That'd be weird.
that would probably really like crunch bandwidth and stuff like that.
Like I said, we'll, it also Trig sometimes can be a bit of a tech boomer, especially streaming, so
yeah. I am learning on the fly. It has never been my thing, and all of a sudden I'm having to do an awful lot of learning this year. Don't do too badly, but yeah, it's. I've been in tech so long that, yeah, the new stuff, I'm getting there, but as you say, the levels will change, and suddenly, like our Loey stream the other week with Lou Levi, I went back and listened to it, and it was just, oh god, this is echoey as hell, what's gone off here? And looked into it. I think we've sorted that problem out since, but I don't know until it's actually been published what the sounds are like, because I'm streaming out to.
Yeah, sometimes it'll be okay at first. Like, we do check levels before we stream, and then it completely changes when we go live.
Mm-hmm.
It's very frustrating like that. But again, we need to stop talking about levels and start talking about community again, because we've spent the last like 5 minutes just talking about audio stuff.
But
I don't know, this is going to be a bit of a shorter stream, so maybe a bit of a round out, because I'm going to have to. I could do with an early night, to be honest, because I'm feeling quite ill as well.
I don't know. I suppose we could say thanks once again to British Knight and Mitch, and also yes. You, Trig, and also Ludwig von Lamy, despite the fact that we didn't do speech for at least, you know, putting an effort, showing up, giving speeches. And I think this, and we keep saying it, but it's such a key sort of element of all of this, is you've, even if it seems like something a mundane thing to do, you've got to show up and put that little bit of effort in. I mean, it was nice as well that the majority of people followed the sort of formal close rule. You know, if you're going to be there, be the best version of yourself whilst you are there.
Be the best you can be.
Yeah.
Unironically, though.
Hmm? No, I mean, literally, as I said briefly in my speech, if you want to be great, so let's be great. I know, it is just a matter of doing what you believe and doing it unapologetically and just sort of, I don't know, just not actually worrying and not to go, oh, well, I don't know about the effects of this, and oh, this and the other's happened, and I'm losing hope and losing the will. And no, just do what you know you must do and do it unapologetically, and we'll win.
Mm.
I am absolutely fucking convinced of this. We will win. I have to believe that. And I don't give a shit about the short term gains or losses. Yes, make you great again. Yes.
That's another good point, is that community and in-person meeting and all this stuff is like the biggest and best antidote to being blackpilled. Like a lot of people being like, oh my God, you're describing all these problems. It's so blackpilling. It's just like, no, you have to understand what you're up against. Mm. Like, a lot of people don't take the mindset that I do, which is so much is bad. And there's like so much everywhere that you can just throw a dart. Like a lot of, you can do so many different things as an effective means of fight back. It is actually kind of heartening about how much you can do. And like I said, even if it's just getting 70 people in a room and talking, like that is, we are at such a low level right now.
Yeah.
It is that easy and that basic.
Well, when you start at zero, baby steps are the only appropriate steps to take.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I mean, it's, you know, I tried to close off my speech with something akin to that even just trying to see anything anywhere near different to the current, you know, order of society and the structures that we deal with, if you ever want anything different than that, you first must be able to value something other than it. You need to value something other than the system itself and something outside of the system. Orientate yourself from that, and for that you should then go forward, not, you know, just jump neck deep into mainstream politics and become a reformist or a careerist or something.
There's an old adage that men don't fight for a cause, they fight for the people around them.
Mm.
You know, they fight for the man next to them. Yeah. And that idea of camaraderie, real camaraderie, is absent from much of, you know, quote unquote right wing online activism.
That's the ultimate cause. I mean, that is the issue with the progressive narrative of history, is it's so amorphous and so malleable that it can be any variant of left wing causes. But counter to that, as soon as you say no, I'm not doing this, you're already segmenting yourself and putting yourself on a side that already has people on it. I mean, I think that's part of the thing, is that so many people are terrified of coming to the conclusion that, wait, maybe the year 2021 is not the best year ever in the human race. And there is other things from other periods of time that we could appreciate and strive for. And as soon as you say that, you are now the enemy. But you need to embrace that.
Yes, once you move outside of the march of history and you start to talk about what people have lost, and even a general sense, you become marked out as somebody who has, you know, essentially lost the right to speak in many circles. You become a pariah. But you can't apologize for that. You can't go, you know, halfway. You can't, you know, cuck out, for want of a better term. You know, as someone said earlier, the only way out is through.
Yes.
You can't.
And all the way through.
Yeah. Yes. I think it's worth pointing out that British Knight and also Harry and Gladive have done a review / Harry and what he submitted and British Knight what he did actually say on the night, and they are accessible on the Nomos events website. I've just got them up there. I watched both of those. They were, great. And it was good to see. Good to see both of them. I hadn't met British Knight before, and or Harry, to be honest. And again, it comes down to, you talk to these people almost on a daily basis, at least via Twitter. Getting to meet, getting them. It's the networking. It's the getting some FaceTime with people that are of like mind. This is how you push things forwards. And as you say, push through. But you're gonna need friends to push through, and this is how we make them.
Mm. Well, yeah, the real anti-progressive jihad was the racist internet friends we made along the way.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm. Never compromise, even in the face of Armageddon. Absolutely, goddamn right.
Well, no, as I think The way I best see it is the image I sent to Scrump earlier on. Another one of my just sort of blend something to do with Austrian theory and Maoism, because it's just the way I see it in my head, the image is, you know, enslaving all the lefties to building like 100-foot tall marble statues of Hopper.
That is the, I can put it in the that chat. Is the real stuff.
Yeah,
the real stuff right there. That's quite funny. No, it's sorry, I'm just having that mental image now.
Well, it's, I was going to say it's the one out there sent in the thing.
That's really good. it's in the general. There it is. Yeah, the human action.
Oh God, I saw that earlier. Yes, let's just
get that on screen, then we can then we can round off, I think. But it's been a bit of a shorter one today. Sorry about the lack of strength the past 2 weeks. Like I said, I did move, and then we had Nomos. So yeah, we're very busy, but you know, we're doing multiple things in multiple areas. There will be probably some kind of democratization special next week. I'm going to try and get that research together.
I don't know about next week.
Oh, what's happening next week?
Well, I thought Drag was going to be here on Thursday.
I might be, sorry. Yes. As long as I've not died or I'm still sick, yes,
I might actually put out my own video then. Because I have loads of ideas and I have some time right now. Cool. So there will be something on the Thursday, theory related.
I can work with you on that if you want, or record it at some point earlier in the week.
Yes, that might be useful. There'll be something on Thursday that's quite theory heavy, because we haven't done that in a while.
Yeah, cool.
But there will be something more to chew on. But for now, thank you for everyone who is still a member and who donated. Thank you to everyone who tuned in, because I'm sure this has been like filtered to hell. We have had about 50 viewers throughout, which is good for a channel that's taken a 2-week break, because YouTube would just punish you.
Hey, guys, I think we've got our first dislike. I'm saying someone gave us a thumbs down. Well done, that mate. Whoever did that, well done.
I know for a fact who that is.
I suspect I do too. Oh, there we go. Anyway, there's another. Yeah.
That's goodbye from me then.
And it's goodbye from him. Good night.
Goodbye from me as well.
Right. It's goodbye from Evelyn.
Goodbye.